Into hour number two. Welcome back. We are live on Radio Row. We are in the Atlanta area, Super Bowl number 53. My name is Jim Rome. We got a very busy second segment or second hour for you. The second segment of hour number two is wide open. Meantime, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I do not want to waste any time. We are joined by a Pro Bowler. He played 9 years in the NFL, more than 5,200 yards from scrimmage, 20 touchdowns in his career. He was a seventh-round pick out of Cal back in 08. He is the co-founder of Shower Pill. We're going to get to all of that. Justin Forsett is my guest. Justin, so good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Dude, you and I were talking off the air. So you've spent some time in and around Javier's in Newport Beach, but you've never hit Javier's.
No. I was always at Mastro's. Eating the butter cake, getting big.
Okay, now, yeah, I was going to say, so eating the butter cake, getting big. When you played, is that a cheat meal? Could you do that? Or when you played, did you stay away from that altogether?
Those are cheat meals, definitely cheat meals, where I can go to Mastro's and get a butter cake or, you know, one of those big porterhouse steaks.
Okay, then. Good. I'm glad to hear it. Now, during the Patriots game, you tweeted, quote, "I've seen this movie 100 times. I still fool myself into thinking there's going to be a different outcome, SMH." When it was tight in the fourth quarter, was there any doubt in your mind that Tom Brady and the Patriots were going to do what they do, finish that game, and advance?
No, not in the fourth quarter. I mean, when he had that much time left on the clock to come down and score, I knew he was going to do it. Now, when they went into overtime, I was like, okay, there's a chance that the Chiefs, if they can get the ball first, that they can end this game. But, you know, they ended up, Brady gets the ball and runs down the field like it's, you know, a piece of cake.
Yeah, but when butter cake. Yeah, that yes. Is butter cake, man. Yeah, but when the tail or when the coin came up heads, was there any doubt in your mind that game was already over?
No. I knew once they had the ball, it's going to be hard to stop Tom. I know they're going in for the kill. They weren't settling for a field goal.
Justin Forsett joining us. Now, for all the talk about Sean McVay and the offense for the Rams, the offensive line does not get a lot of attention, right? During the game against Dallas, though, you were all over that. You tweeted, quote, "The lanes that the Rams OL are creating are ridiculous. You can literally bird box challenge your way into the end zone. Great vision by the backs and a great push by the OL." So what were you seeing from LA's line that impressed you so much?
Man, as a running back, I'm looking at, okay, when is the first point of contact for the back? And it wasn't until he was getting to the second level. That's when you know that the lanes are there, that the offensive line are sustaining blocks, and they have tremendous push. And CJ was running downhill, especially in that game, running downhill, and his first contact was punishing the safety. And you don't want that as a safety or a secondary player, especially in the fourth quarter.
Can you explain this to me? I mean, I already know the answer. It's my listeners that I'm bumping up against. They get a real kick out of CJ. Like, yo, man, look how fat that guy is. I'm like, listen. Maybe he could drop a few pounds. Yeah. Maybe he'd be the first one to say that. But to your point, if my man has got up a head of steam and he's running downhill and the first guy that he sees and has contact with is the safety, that safety's going to finish. Feel that, right?
Yes. Oh, no, he's definitely going to feel every pound. He's gonna feel it. And CJ, he's big, but he's always been big. You know, he's added a little more. You can see it a little bit more because he was on the couch a few weeks before he got with the Rams. But he's an athlete. You can see, I look at not only his downfield running, but, okay, what does his lateral movement look like? Is he able to sidestep guys? Is he able to jump cut? And he still has those abilities, and you see it on game day. And so him being big, like, I look at the bus. Like, those guys, like, they were big. You know, look for the average eye, you think, oh, this guy can't move or anything. But they were, you know, they're athletic. They're agile.
That is one running back talking about another running back, and hopefully that never comes up on this show ever again. You heard it from somebody who played 9 years in the NFL. What about the other guy in that backfield? I mean, granted, you're not with that team, but as you look at Todd Gurley, he played really well against Dallas, had a really strange game against the Saints. Uh-huh. What do you think happened?
Man, I think it's a health issue. You know, I think that I watched him on the sideline. I watched him on the bike. I watched his body language. He was constantly stretching. And for me as a player, I knew if my mind, like, that's what I would do if I was injured. Something wasn't healthy with me. Like, I'm trying to stay warm and stay loose so when I got my number called out, I'd be ready, because you didn't want to get tight and stiff. So I think it was an injury issue where he maybe was focusing on that. And, you know, I think that this week he had two weeks to rest and get healed up, and I think we see a different Todd Gurley this week.
All right, so when you see that body language, there was nothing about his body language that told you, it's just not my day. I'm not having a good day. I'm not playing well. They're taking me out of the game because I'm not right.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with it. Of course, he made some, you know, he dropped some passes
right
early in the game, but his body language on the sideline, that was a telltale that something wasn't right on his body somewhere.
Justin Forsett joining us. Now, when you retired, you had a great line. A great line. Quote, scouts measured my height, said I was too short. They measured my 40, said I was too slow. They looked at my build and said I wouldn't last. End quote. How much pride then is there in having the career that you had despite everybody saying all these things?
Man, it's a blessing, you know, to be able to play as long as I did, be able to walk out on my own terms in good health. And it was, you know, it was a dream come true, man, just to have that and be successful and be able to now inspire people and encourage people that, you know, it doesn't matter about your height or your size or so-called limitations, go out and be great.
How did they miss so badly, though? I mean, we're talking about 9 years, man. 9 years in a really, really good career. How did so many people who are paid to know miss that badly?
Man, it happens, you know. I mean, I don't wow anybody when I walk off of a bus. You know, I'm 5'8", 195 pounds. Like, that's not your ideal prototypical running back. So, you know, some people couldn't get over the height.
Let me ask you this. How do you know, though? How did you know, right? If everybody's telling you one thing, what did you know about yourself that a lot of other people didn't know?
Man, I was built for it. I mean, day in and day out, I prepared as if I was a Pro Bowl running back. Not just in 2014 when I actually, or 2015 when I made a Pro Bowl, but every day I competed. I competed against the best. I learned from some of the best. I mean, coming in from college with J.J. Arrington and Marshawn Lynch and Javid Best and Shane Vereen, competing with these guys day in and day out. Then when I got to the NFL, I had Edgerrin James. I had Julius Jones, T.J. Duckett. I had a number of guys, Arian Foster, Maurice Jones-Drew, that I can just be a sponge and learn until I got my shot and I stay ready for my moment.
All right, so when the cheering stops and you're no longer part of that, and you're no longer part of that grind, does the grind transfer to something else? What do you do with all that passion when you've been so singularly focused on that one thing for so long?
Absolutely. I'm a entrepreneur, man. I have a startup, so I have to transfer that grind into my startup life. My life as a CEO now of a company, so it doesn't stop.
No, in fact, you get a lot of inspiration from a lot of different places. Justin Forsett's my guest. In November, you were in New Orleans. You were out to dinner. At one point in your meal, you saw, quote, the biggest rat I've ever seen run across the floor. I got to know, how did you handle that? Did you run out the door with it? Did you pull somebody aside and go, hey, yo, man, that's a really big rat over there? What did you do?
So it was a weird scenario. So we had just finished our dinner. Me and my wife, we were out just having a nice little New Orleans dinner. And we just, at the end, when we were finishing up, we just see this big creature run through the restaurant. And it was so big that people on the other side of the restaurant, they knew that something ran by. They didn't even see it. It was like, what was that? They just felt this presence. So
that's amazing.
We told the waitress, like, hey, we just saw a rat bag that you might want to go check it out. I mean, it looked like a squirrel or something that ran across the dining room floor. So it was crazy. So we got our food and we went.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Got our dessert to go.
You still wanted to eat your dessert after saw a rat the size of a dog.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we figured that it was allergic to brownies. The rat wasn't.
The butter cake. Yeah. Maybe you just wanted the butter cake. That's what that is.
I got a sweet tooth, man.
You know, I hear you. I got some of that, too. You know, last week, also, you tweeted a message where you were encouraging people to be bold. Part of what you talked about was a young man who delivered some food to you last week. Tell me, what happened after he left, and what did you make of that?
Man, it was crazy. So I ordered from a delivery service, and they delivered to my home, and the guy came and he dropped the food off and recognized who I was, and then he called me back on the phone, which was kind of weird. I was like, okay, this is that kind of unprofessional to call me back. And he was like, hey, man, are you Justin Forsett, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens? Like, you play in the NFL. I was like, yeah. He was like, I'm a young kid. I just want your help. I'm trying to get into college somewhere. Can I send you some tape or something? I was like, sure, man. Give him my email address, and I'm going to try to help him out.
Hunt, did you respect that hustle?
I respect the hustle and grind because you have to be bold in order to get what you want. You got to be confident. You got to be willing to take risks. You can't get anywhere playing it safe. So I understand that as an entrepreneur and an athlete.
All right, so you're running a startup.
Yep.
Is it what you thought it would be, or has it been different than what you expected?
Man, I'm reading right now Shoe Dog, just the story of Phil Knight. And just understand that entrepreneurship is a very messy process. And I didn't realize how messy it can be, until I'm in it. And what I mean messy is just a grind. It's a day in and day out. I'm more busy now than I ever was playing football constantly, whether it's customer service, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's product development, marketing, all those different pieces that you're in control of that require your time and effort. So, and you're trying to lead a team to kind of help everybody else reach their full potential. So it's a lot of work and it's a lot of grind, but it's been able to fulfill that fire that I had as a player.
Dude, is there any point, I mean, to that point, fulfilling that fire? Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got an issue on the field, the practice field during the game, within reason, you can line somebody up and handle your business, right?
Yeah.
Not so much in the business world. That's not how that works.
No. You got to be humble. You know, whether you come up with issues, the customer is always right, you know, for the most part. And you got to handle each scenario accordingly. And I feel like we've been doing a great job as a company and just growing our brand and allowing people to know, understand who we are as Shower Pill. Not only that we create really cool personal care products for people on the go, but also we do good. Like whether we're helping out sponsor youth sports teams, you know, with our free play initiative where we make sure that youth sports expenses are getting crazy. Like people from communities where I'm from can't afford to play youth sports and travel sports these days, and we give sponsorships so kids can play. Or we're in disaster relief scenarios where we're helping out people, whether it was in Puerto Rico or in Houston when hurricanes hit and they don't have water readily available, so they need our products. So we do good.
Justin Forsett joining us. You know, I'm a little bit too close to it. You and I have talked about the shower pill in the past. For those who do not know, what is the shower pill?
Yeah, so it's a disposable washcloth. It's an antibacterial towel that removes sweat, dirt, and body odor after any interval of sweat, whether you're leaving the gym, camping, hiking, youth sports activities, yoga, you're in the military, you name it. Anytime you're sweating, we're able to be there to keep you clean and fresh.
Right now, you've been on the big stage before. You know what pressure is. You went on Shark Tank.
Yes.
In an episode that aired last January. That means you're going into a studio, under the lights, and you're pitching people like Mark Cuban. Yes. You've been in pressure situations before. What did that one feel like?
Man, that was different. That was reality TV. You know, you're in there with the director, producer, and under the lights, and you got, you know, six billionaires, mega millionaires right there in front of you analyzing your company. And it was a great experience for us because it allowed us to really grow as a team and as a company. And we really learned a lot from that experience. Even though we didn't get a deal, great exposure and really changed the trajectory of our company.
All right, so you didn't get a deal, but you know how it is. I mean, you're used to breaking down film.
Yeah.
What was it like when you got back home and you had some time and you watched yourself and you watched that performance? What kind of things did you see when you watched it back?
Man, just being able to prepare more, you know, the day that we filmed that, I was like fresh out of football, you know, even though I've been, you know, running this business or, you know, co-founder of this business for a while, like it's been my first full-time opportunity to kind of really run it and just didn't prepare like I should have and really had a fumble on national TV. And I had to go back and say, man, I can never allow that to happen again. And to this day, like that, every day I wake up in the morning, I think about that Shark Tank moment. I think about that fumble on national TV, and that drives me to so that it never happened again. I can't even watch the show anymore, by the way.
So is that how that felt? You felt like you put the ball on the ground?
Yeah, I put the ball on the ground. And the only way I know how to do is have a short-term memory, learn from it, and grow and get better. Not allow that thing to define me, but refine me.
All right, so if people want more information or they want to buy the shower pill, where do they go?
So we just got a big deal with Target.
That's awesome.
So we're in all 1,800 stores. Thank you. Across the nation, which is a big win for us in the sporting goods section. And you can also buy us on Amazon and showerpill.com.
That's an amazing thing to get inside of Target. All right, one last thought. You mentioned the Ravens. You look at Lamar Jackson, man. This guy's an absolute stud. But when you look at the hits that he took this year, how concerned would you be going forward if that's the kind of offense they run with him?
Yeah, man. I love the offense, how they're using him. There has to be some growth and maturity in the passing game, of course. We all saw that. And I think every week that he improved in that area. So I'm pretty excited to see where they're going to do this offseason with him, what kind of wrinkles they're going to add into it. Because even though we don't want him to get hit, it's hard to hit something you can't see.
Right.
He's that fast.
Justin Forsett, 9 years in the NFL. He was a Pro Bowler, a 7th-round pick out of Cal, and he is the co-founder of Shower Pill and the CEO of the company. Always good to see you, Justin. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you.
Javier's, bro. Javier's, don't forget.
There.
Let me know when you come. Appreciate you, too.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming right back. And when we do, I've got one open segment. Normally, we do not do this in the middle of the program, but it's a great chance for you to call 1-800-636-8686. And what I'm looking to do is give away that Master Built Smoker as well. Guys, never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You know that, right? Probably know this, too. The worst part about doing your taxes is doing your taxes. The best part, planning what to do with your refund. Whether it's a big fat check or a pocket full of change, make your tax refund go further at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do you need new wipers, a new battery, maybe some tires, or showing some wear and tear? How about your brakes? Do you need new filters? Are your fluids full? Think about all the things you've been wanting to fix. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. From accessories, belts, fluids, hoses, to batteries, tires, lighting, and more. You'll even find parts for your lawn and garden equipment. Spring is right around the corner. Get more out of your tax refund by checking O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. Save money on projects that you've been putting off at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, so the rare open segment. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. We are live on Radio Row in Atlanta. Still to come this hour, Will Brinson, a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. We're talking soccer again next hour. A goaltender for the Atlanta United and USMNT, Brad Kazan. Ross Tucker will be joining me next hour. I just saw Julie Romanowski. You know what that means? More protein. One of my dudes on the set hit me up today and goes, yo, Rome, I got to tell you something. I'm like, yeah, man, what's up? He's like, when you asked Romo if there were roids in his protein shake yesterday, that was awesome. I'm like, right? Wasn't that? Thought I was the only one who thought that was funny. Except I meant it. Romo didn't blink. Romo's the best. If you're preparing your game day menu, make sure a Masterbuilt smoker is part of the process. Masterbuilt helps you master the craft of smoking. Let Masterbuilt smokers do all the work for the perfect game day grub. I'm giving a Masterbuilt smoker to the best content that I hear today, either by email or by tweet or a phone call. For retailers, information, and tips, go to Masterbuilt.com. Justin Forsett getting some really good reaction. Stucknuts in. Stucknut tweets. Javier's Buttercake. Rats not showering. That Justin Forsett interview had something for every clone. Right? Javier's Buttercake, rats, and not showering. That covers literally every clone. Super Dave in LA tweets, Dad, can we go to that restaurant where there are live rats? Signed, Rogan Loam. Think about Logan. He's 13 now. He moved on to the opposite sex. He doesn't care about the rat family anymore.
Rogan
it never
Loam.
Comes up. Never comes up. Never even asks. Not even, hey, Dad. Come on, Dad. Just do it. Come on, Dad. For a moment, he was obsessed with the rat family and be bringing it back.
Rogan Low.
Riddy Bad Luck 13 tweets. So, Justin Forsett saw Gary Gaetti in a New York restaurant. How is that a story? War Buttercake. That's rat with two T's. Then I got some reaction to hour number one. I'm just going back because we've been wall-to-wall with the interviews. In hour number one, Mock Moda tweets, hello, a decent phone call, tweet, or email? Who the hell are you talking to, Rome? Surely it can't be us. Sign the clones. Mr. Eric Bennett tweets, Romy, we need to talk. Tracy is incredible. Thank you for having her on. Now send me the smoker so I can bulk up and be next year's CJ Anderson. Tracy Wolfson was incredible. Ace in Chico tweets, we're proud to call Austin Hooper one of our own. Sign NorCal. Hashtag, don't violate the temple. He did great. That's the first time he had been on. Should have done that sooner. There's more. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, 40 degrees in rain, must be nice. Signed Wisconsin, and they're 19 below zero with the wind chill right now. I've heard. Jake Rome has heard. Can I tell you something about Jake Rome? So we know that he's got his short list. Wisconsin, it's my son, my older son, and we're looking at colleges. And I didn't expect to make this a topic on the program, but it literally has taken on a life of its own. And colleges started to recruit this kid. Why, I'm not really sure. You know, great kid, great student. We're not talking about like a D1 athlete. We're not talking about any collegiate sports whatsoever. He's just going to be a college kid. So I mentioned it on the air, and certain colleges are stepping up. So he got into Missouri. He got into Arizona State. Wisconsin was on his short list. He got into that school as well. And then we were waiting on Northwestern, Syracuse, a couple of California schools. And then out of nowhere, ESPN's John Anderson texts Jake Rome and says, "Hey, Jake, I understand that you're close to making a decision and that you got into Missouri. If you have any questions whatsoever, you should have a conversation with me." And he did. And it's the craziest thing. Like, John Anderson, very, very well-respected, classy, classy guy. I've never once spoken to him in my life. And he and Jake Rome had a 45-minute conversation yesterday. So, is it Wisco or is Missouri back in the hunt? Bill Ryder is a Mizzou guy, right? He's coming up later on today. Let's see. J.J. Grace, 1969 tweets. Rome, no one is equipped to deal with black ice. I know some clones north of the border who may disagree. Just because precipitation falls from the sky, it doesn't mean you cancel everything. Signed, Johnny New England. War Subaru owners.
Ice.
Hey, man, that black ice.
Ice.
Is no joke. It is no joke, man. All right, here's an email. I thought that this email would win it, but now I know somebody who's on hold who might rip it from this emailer. Here's the email. "Hi, Jim. Does anyone have any empathy for us Pats fans? I've had to watch the last 9 out of 17 Super Bowls while in a fetal position, sucking my thumb. I would like to see all the losers and haters pass on all those finger sandwiches, deviled eggs, chicken wings, dips, chips, cookies, because their nerves have made them sick to their stomach. Have some sympathy, you damn dirty losers." Sarah T. in Providence. "War Rick in Buffalo being carted out of his house on a gurney Sunday night. War Kurt Warner professing his love for me on national TV." But Jack Del Rio didn't want any of that. We'll see, Sarah. It'd be a big day for you. Can you imagine that? If you won another Super Bowl and Kurt Warner looked into the camera and said, "There's only one woman for me, Sarah T." Hey, Sarah, how about this? "I was going to give you the smoker. Oh, but looky here. Look who just called in. Mike in Indy. Mikey, what's going on?"
"Hey, not much, Romy. Hey, we all know how you like to play it up when you have a former Smackoff champ on hold. Problem is, most of the time, it's Silk Bra. We all know I'm the last one to discredit someone else's Smackoff championship, but we all know Silk has the weakest sauce, and it's always a huge letdown. My calls make Silk Bra look like silk panties. Then there's weak sauce Vic and NoCal last week. That idiot's long-winded call made Silk Bra look concise and hilarious. Wore all of Tom Brady's championships having an asterisk because he cheats all the time, and I'm out."
Hey, Sarah, you know that smoker that I gave to you? Give it back. Give it back. It now
Give
belongs to Mike
stunt.
In Indy. Give me back my smoker.
Give me back my stunt.
Hey, Rome, you know how you like to get everybody all hyped up when you say there's a former Smackoff winner on hold and it's Silk Bra. Silk Bra, more like silk panties. Mike and Indy. Man, that was dirty, Mike. That was dirty. Really dirty and cold-blooded. That thing belonged to Sarah. Sarah had already won it, had set it up in her home, and was getting ready to use it for the big game on Sunday, and you ripped it right out of her hands. Sorry about that, Sarah. Good news is I've got one more to give away this week, and it's only Tuesday. So if you do not win today, you can still win. When we come back, my man Will Brinson will be joining us. We're talking soccer, too. Brad Gazan is a goaltender for Atlanta United, and also for the U.S. national team. He'll be by top of hour number three. My man Ross Tucker, as good an interview as there is on the row, he will be here next hour. And it looks like I may have an open. No, I do not. I got Bill Ryder at the end of the program. In other words, take your best shot. We are live in the ATL, site of Super Bowl 53. Time now for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here it is.
Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. Welcome back. We are live in Atlanta. Having a great week so far. Only Tuesday. There is so much more where this came from. If you're on hold, I am going to try to get phone calls in a little bit later on. But I'm joined right now by a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, a CBS HQ host, very good friend of the program, Will Brinson joins me right now. Will, what's going on? How are you?
A pleasure, man. Always good to see you. Thank you for having me. Getting to grace this set.
My man, we consider you a very good friend of the program. You're doing a show for CBS HQ this week. How's that been going? What's that been like so far?
It's been great. We had Pete Prisco on. He said that Ben Vola and Pete Prisco both said Aaron Donald won't be a factor in the Super Bowl. So we get a little buzz from that quotable. But, you know, hour of live video on the Internet.
Did they explain how the hood was going to erase a guy with 20 and a half sacks?
Sort of. I mean, they basically said they're going to double and triple team him into oblivion, but I don't know if I buy that, because then you leave Ndamukong Suh open, you leave Dante Fowler open. It's not that easy, but Belichick is great at taking away your most dangerous weapon.
Right, so is that the thing? I mean, we know that about Belichick. He will take away your most dangerous weapon. How about offensively? What's he looking to take away if he's looking to take away your most dangerous weapon?
Well, I mean, I think if you're Bill Belichick, what you do is you have Stephon Gilmore, who's your top cornerback. You put him on Robert Woods, who's sort of the number two, but a more, you know, like a guy that Gilmore would match up more traditionally. Then you double Brandon Cooks, and you say, look, we're going to flow to this outside zone. We're not going to fall for the jet sweeps and stuff like that. We're going to bottle up Todd Gurley, and if we do that, you're going to have to pass all day long. And then all of a sudden we have favorable matchups with that double team on Cooks and that single coverage on Woods. And I don't know what the Rams do in that situation. I mean, you know, the Rams are really good, and Sean McVay is really smart, but Bill Belichick is the ultimate equalizer here.
Unless Will Brinson joining us, unless, of course, the Rams can do what they want to do, namely run the football. If they can run the football, it sets everything up. We know that Jared Goff can take advantage of play fakes, play action. Do you think they can run the ball on the Patriots?
No, I don't. I mean, like, I understand that the Patriots aren't great against the run, but Bill Belichick has 2 weeks to prepare and to work on the fundamentals with these guys, these veteran players on the front seven who aren't going to fall for the gimmicks and the fakes and all that. So unless Sean McVay can reinvent all his tendencies and get away and do something totally new, which is, he's smart, he could do it, I think that they're going to struggle to run the ball. I don't think Todd Gurley's healthy. I get he's not on the injury report and they say it's just conditioning, but come on, he's Todd freaking Gurley. You're holding out the best running back in football because of conditioning?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know exactly what happened, but something happened, all right? The guy was not right, but he looked fine against Dallas. He looked fine against Dallas and did not look good at all against New Orleans. Again, I've got a tremendous threshold for this guy's pain. I don't know what's going on. I think there's something wrong, and I don't think it's that he didn't want to play on the big stage and shut it down or went into the tank because he put one on the ground. Obviously, that was not a good thing for him, but I personally think there's something wrong with him physically.
There has to be. But like,
well, unless you buy the argument, though, some are trying to make the argument. No, he's fine physically. They say he's fine physically. He says he's fine. Not because he's saying it doesn't mean he is. But I mean, I just can't get to a place of the stage was too big and he shut down.
Right, Todd Gurley. This guy's been on the biggest stages his entire life. I mean, now look, he's from Tarboro, North Carolina, small town near where I live.
Right.
But I mean, he got to Georgia. You know, he played in these big games. He's not scared of these big stages. And the idea that he would just wither from the spotlight? No way. Todd Gurley loves the spotlight. He was in it yesterday. But it's either he's hurt or he's not hurt. This can't be some mental conditioning type of thing.
Will Brinson joining us. All right, so what about the Pats? When you look at them, are you thinking to yourself, great, another Super Bowl with the Patriots. I'm sick of these guys. Or when you look at them, are you just in awe that they're back again?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is my ninth Super Bowl for CBS, which is kind of wild. Fifth time the Pats have been here in that stretch. Like, thanks, you know, it's been a blast covering you guys, but maybe something new, maybe some Mahomes in my life. This is the most impressive job by Belichick and Brady, I think, in the in the third rendition of their dynasty. I think you split it up. You had the early stages where it's, you know, first they're the underdogs. The, you know, Brady's this just a winner who finds ways to win in the fourth quarter. Then you have the we're murdering everybody with our offense in the 2007 undefeated team. Then you have this third stage where Brady is a blend of those guys. They have a modern passing offense through the running backs. Gronk continues to develop. But this group, with their age, the way that Gronk struggled in the regular season, the way they lost Sony Michel for some time, the way they had to reinvent themselves as a power run team, this to me is the most impressive effort in the third rendition of the Patriots dynasty.
Will Brinson joining us. Now, the third edition or rendition of the dynasty, but how differently would we see them if D4 does not line up in the neutral zone and Kansas City ends up winning that game? Then how are we talking about them?
I think there would be a narrative. It's like, well, the Patriots just can't win on the road. Because they haven't traditionally been great on the road. I mean, they lost that AFC Championship game in Denver. And that, by the way, that's the undertold story here, too, is that Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator right. who shut him down, is now on the other side again. I think we would wonder about Belichick and Brady not having home field advantage. And we would that narrative, the drum beating about the AFC East being their freebie to the Super Bowl, would get louder and louder.
All right, now, JLC, Jason Lock and Ford and I were talking about this yesterday. And you went ahead and you ranked Tom Brady's 41 best receivers, and you split them into tiers. Obvious guys on top, like Gronk, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, but it didn't take long for you to get titled or to the title group of, huh? Which included guys like Chris Hogan, Brandon LaFell, Dante Stallworth. How surprising is it that those three guys rank among his all-time receivers?
The craziest one is at number 26 on the list in terms of most yards caught with a, you know, since 2001 by a Patriots player is Josh Gordon. The dude was there for like a cup of
five
coffee.
Games.
Yeah, and if he played another season, he'd be maybe top 10. It's and like the guy we go to, Jim, the guy we always go to is like. Like, who? Remember what Tom Brady? It's like 2006, Rashay Caldwell. And like, who? These guys are all on this list, and it's like Tom Brady has made more chicken salad.
Can I say though, Will, there's no who about Rashay Caldwell on this show, man. The clones are so obsessed with this guy's eyes that he is top tier on their list.
Hey, he's top tier on the Tom Brady list, too. The guy's like one of like Tom Brady's 10 greatest receivers ever.
So how does this guy make chicken salad out of all that crap?
It's unbelievable. I think the thing that strikes me about the Patriots is that they figured out modern offense before everybody else did. They can plug and play receivers. They have the quarterback. They have pass catching running backs. And they went modern with the way they approach it ahead, like 5 years ahead of everybody else. And it's worked out for them really well.
Why can't anybody else do it? It's just Brady?
No, I mean, I think people are the Patriots have some weaknesses. Like they always overdraft cornerbacks, and you know they drafted some wide receivers in the second round that didn't work out. But by and large, they found guys who do specific things very well, like the Edelman and Welker. You always have the mind meld going on with the route tree and the option routes they run with Brady, and so that opens up things where you can utilize guys like Rashay Caldwell, and then you can utilize Antoine Smith out of the backfield, Kevin Falk, James White. There's always a pass catching running back.
All right, now Edelman. Edelman's good. Edelman's really, really good. Is he Hall of Fame good in your mind?
No, he's not even close. This is a... I mean, I don't want to insult anybody who might have said it that I might be friends with. It's a trash take. If you think Julian Edelman's in the Hall of Fame, then you are ignoring his regular season stats. I get that he's second all-time in postseason stats and postseason catches. That's great. But he has 2,000-yard receiving seasons in his career. There's Megatron comparisons out there. Get out of here with that. Calvin Johnson is one of the transcendent talents.
Is it a slippery slope? If we let Edelman in, do we have to let Rashay in too?
Yes, yes. You better let Wes Welker in. If you look at Julian Edelman's best season, he has lower numbers than Wes Welker's average over six seasons in New England. He averaged 112 catches, 1,200 yards, and six touchdowns with the Patriots, and Welker didn't even get a sniff of the Hall of Fame.
Well, I'll tell you, though, when he came back, they had a very different look offensively. All of a sudden, stuff started to come together. Now, Sony Michel had a lot to do with that, of course, but when he missed those four games, they did not look right, and then when he came back, you could see how happy Brady was to see him. What about the Patriots' mystique, right? Aura, does that matter in a game like this? For instance, if you took that same exact team and put them in a different uniform, how big of a difference would it make?
Yeah, I think that it makes a huge difference. And we tried to get rid of it. I did, specifically, like an idiot. Tried to get rid of it before the Chargers game. Tried to get rid of it before the Chiefs game. It exists. It's real. And even
did you go against them both in both those games?
Yeah, I'm a moron, Jim. Yeah, I mean, no, this is well established.
By the way, I did too.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Chargers were the better team.
I did too.
And they were the better team, and Belichick coached Anthony Lynn's pants off. And then he went into Kansas City and he outcoached Andy Reid. I don't know if his pants were off, but they were at least down around his, like, you know, his mid thigh. I mean, it was a bad coaching job those guys against against Belichick.
Belichick's made a lot of really good coaches look bad, a lot of really good quarterbacks look bad. If you're the Patriots, what concerns you the most about the Rams?
Wade Phillips. As Belichick pointed out, he's never changed his scheme in 30 years. He doesn't change anything he does. Trots his guys out there. He plays the way he wants to play. He has Aaron Donald. He has Ndamukong Suh. Dante Fowler's been a factor since he came over in the trade. And he's got cornerbacks, which is always a key in a Wade Phillips defense. Marcus Peters is a loose cannon, and he's going to give up a big play, but the dude will make a pick, and he'll take it to the house. Aqib Talib knows Brady, knows Belichick really well. They have talent on this defense, and that would be my concern, that you could see the Rams potentially come out like the Falcons did. And I don't think that if the Rams did that and they put pressure on the interior on Brady, that they're going to wilt and get tired like the Falcons did.
Will Brinson joining me for a few more moments. In terms of how they come out, that to me is really a key. Based on what we've seen from the Patriots in each of their last two games, how do you think they come out on their first drive? And on the flip side, how critical is it that the Rams not give up points on that first drive?
It's massive, because you're spot on. When they took the ball against the Chargers, that should have been a turnaround and run for me as somebody who backed the Chargers. That was a soul-sucking.
I was just going to say soul-crushing.
Yeah, like, at that point, it's like, oh, my God, it's 10 a.m. our time. What are we doing here in New England? We're about to get blitzkrieged. And the same thing with the Chiefs. Like, you never see Belichick, you know, take the ball. I think if he takes the ball in the Super Bowl, it says a lot, too. The Rams have to have a stand early on to keep that time of possession and that tempo that the Patriots want to establish, pounding the ball, running with Sony Michel. They got to keep that offensive line off the field. They got to keep Tom Brady off the field, stop him from scoring, try and make him more one-dimensional than they want to be, and that's how you flip the game.
Well, not only that, but they've got to be able to get off the field themselves. Kansas City could not get off the field on third down. How do you think the Rams' defense will show up on third downs against Brady?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that was shocking with the Chiefs is that they didn't seem inherently to care about guarding Julian Edelman. Like, it's third down, bro. You know where Tom Brady's going. It's Julian Edelman. He's his guy in the playoffs on third down. You need to guard Julian Edelman. And they just did such a poor job of it. And the other thing, they were sloppy. Like, the Chiefs didn't look like they looked like they were either too tight or not tight enough, but they weren't there. They were making the mistakes that teams have made against Belichick teams for years, and they were giving away free first downs. And if you do that, you'll lose.
All right, Will, before you go, I need to get your immediate reaction to something. What pops into your head when I say the following four words? Jason Garrett, head coach.
How? Is he still the head coach? Dude, he's like the fifth longest tenured head coach in the NFL, and he continually plays conservative. He shrivels up in big spots. He looked in the postseason like he was purposely not clapping to troll all of us, which I guess is funny, and he kept laughing about it. But at the end of the day, you knew he wasn't going to win a big game against Bill Belichick or Sean McVay, someone who could outcoach him, and he didn't.
All right, so there are questions, obviously, about Jason Garrett as a head coach and offensive mind. Knowing that, what is his offense? What is seeing his offense score one TD in a Pro Bowl where nobody plays any defense? That might be the biggest indictment against this guy ever.
Yeah, like, did they wait till Dak Prescott was in to throw a touchdown? What, are you trying to prop your dude up and get him a contract? Like, get out of here. Yeah, you have Russell Wilson. You can't score a touchdown in the Pro Bowl? It's insane. I worry that for the Cowboys fans, that what they got was a little bit of a taste of success. And now they're going to have to hand contracts to Amari Cooper, Jason Garrett, Dak Prescott, DeMarcus Lawrence. And if Jerry spends all that money and they come back with the same core and nobody takes a step forward, this could be a team that falls back in a big way.
All right, so what are you most excited about hitting this week? Waffle House or something else?
Man, I went to boarding school, high school in Chattanooga. I grew up in Waffle House, man. And I got to tell you, Waffle House is the place to go. But I saw a cookout down the road. Here in Atlanta. I don't know if you're about cookout. You can go to cookout and order a burger tray, and you can get as your sides a corn dog and chicken nuggets.
That's the best. A side of corn dogs.
Yeah, you get two corn dogs.
I love that. Can I get a corn dog and a side of a double cheeseburger?
Absolutely.
That's the cookout.
75 flavors of milkshakes, too.
That is absolutely insane. So what was boarding school in Chattanooga like?
Macaulay School, the great Macaulay School. It was awesome. It was, living up on the ridge. Hanging out and riding around and go to school in your tie, and then go to Waffle House. Bang down some hash browns.
Does not get any better than that. You can check him out at CBS HQ. He's a host there. He's also the host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, and a very good friend of the program, Will Brinson. Will, good to see you, man. Really well done.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Great to see you. All right, Will Brinson breaking it all down. So we're going into hour number three right now. Very quickly, you can take a shot on the phones if you want. 1-800-636-8686. Among other things, I've got Ross Tucker coming up next hour. Also, we talk U.S. men's national soccer team. We will have that conversation. And Bill Ryder from CBS will talk some NBA with us. We'll change up, switch up on you. 1-800-636-8686. 2 hours down, a third hour from the ATL. Coming up next, you're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.